Good morning, good morning, good morning, and welcome to Christmas Carols, our Advent devotional study for 2021. I'm Pastor Jason Van Bemmel from Forest Hill Presbyterian Church. Last year, some of you were with us, we went through Handel's Messiah, and we went through the texts and did a devotional study on each scripture passage as we listened to the music. This year, we're going to take great Christmas carols from throughout history, some well-loved and well-known ones, maybe some that aren't quite well as well-known, although pretty much all the ones I picked are pretty well-known. And we're going to look at the carol itself, and we're going to take a look at Scripture as a background to understanding the meaning of Christmas, the meaning of the coming of Christ, the meaning of Advent. Advent means the coming. I've got a brand new coffee mug. Look at that. Isn't that nice? I got that in Blue Ridge, Georgia over Thanksgiving week. An artist mug. I love this sort of mountain pottery look. Filled with good coffee, and we are ready to go. Our first carol that we're going to be taking a look at this morning is Come, Thou Long-Expected Jesus, which was written by Charles Wesley in 1744. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you sent your Son, Jesus, to be our Savior. After many, many years of waiting, you kept your promise, and you sent forth your Son, and he is our Savior. And we pray that you would show us our Savior, and that you would draw our hearts closer to our Savior through the time that we spend together this morning and throughout these Advent devotionals. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So, Come Thou Long-Expected Jesus. I'm going to mute the sound on that one. We'll listen to it later, but I want to look at the words first. Come Thou Long-Expected Jesus. So, verses 1 and 4, I'm taking this version from the Trinity Hymnal, which is the hymnal that we use in the PCA and the OPC. And in the Trinity Hymnal, there are two verses in the middle, verses 2 and 3, that were added by Mark Hunt in 1978. And oftentimes I don't like it when modern writers add, you know, stanzas or verses to hymns. But in this case, they work very, very well. Come, thou long-expected Jesus, born to set thy people free. From our fears and sins, release us. Let us find our rest in thee. Israel's strength and consolation, hope of all the earth thou art, dear desire of every nation, joy of every longing heart. Now, picking a scripture as background to this, there's so many scripture references in here from the prophets and from Simeon and the presentation in the temple in Luke 2. But I thought this title, Come Thou Long-Expected Jesus. What passage is there in Scripture that would help us to grasp how long God's people waited for Jesus? And I thought about what has become one of my favorite passages of Scripture, and that is the genealogies, the genealogy that begins the New Testament and the Gospel of Matthew. Ever wonder why the New Testament begins with a list of names, a genealogy? Certainly there must be a more interesting way of starting a book. But there's a purpose to it. The book of the genealogy of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. He is Jesus, the Christ, the anointed one, the Messiah, Messiah Jesus, Jesus the Messiah. He's the son of David and the son of Abraham, and specifically those two titles because those are the covenant promises that were given. And so the genealogy begins with Abraham, who lived almost 2,000 years before Jesus and was given a promise that through his offspring, all the nations of the earth would be blessed. And they waited. Abraham was the father of Isaac. Isaac was the child of promise, but he was not the promised one. Isaac was the father of Jacob, whose name would later be changed to Israel and became the father of the 12 tribes of Israel, but he was not the promised one. Jacob the father of Judah and his brothers, Judah the father of Perez and Zerah by Tamar, and Perez the father of Hezron, and Hezron the father of Ram, and Ram the father of Amminadab, and Amminadab the father of Nashon, and Nashon the father of Salmon, and Salmon the father of Boaz by Rahab, and Boaz the father of Obed, and by Ruth, and Obed the father of Jesse, and Jesse the father of David the king. David the king, after so many years, after so many generations, 1,000 years almost had passed, and now David the king comes. But he's not the promised one either. He is given a new covenant promise by God that one of his descendants will sit on the throne over God's people forever. And so a new period of waiting, a new enhanced period of waiting. Not only would there be a seed of Abraham to bless all the nations of the world, but there would be a son of David to sit on the throne over all of God's people forever. Who would that be? David was the father of Solomon by the wife of Uriah. But Solomon was not the promised one. And Solomon, the father of Rehoboam, and Rehoboam, the father of Abijah, and Abijah, the father of Asaph, and Asaph, the father of Jehoshaphat, and Jehoshaphat, the father of Joram, and Joram, the father of Uzziah, and Uzziah, the father of Jotham, and Jotham, the father of Ahaz, and Ahaz, the father of Hezekiah, and Hezekiah, the father of Manasseh, and Manasseh, the father of Amos, and Amos, the father of Josiah, and Josiah, the father of Jeconiah and his brothers, at the time of the deportation to Babylon. And with the deportation to Babylon, the Davidic dynasty, as kings reigning on the throne in Jerusalem, comes to an end after about 450 years. And after the deportation to Babylon, Jeconiah was the father of Shealtiel, and Shealtiel the father of Zerubbabel. If you read Haggai, if you read Zechariah, you'll see wonderful things said about Zerubbabel. Many people thought he was the one, but he wasn't the promised one. He was just a picture of the promised one to come. Zerubbabel, the father of Abiud, Abiud, the father of Eliakim, Eliakim, the father of Azor, and Azor, the father of Zadok, and Zadok, the father of Achim, and Achim, the father of Eliud, and Eliud, the father of Eleazar, and Eleazar, the father of Matan, and Matan, the father of Jacob, and Jacob, the father of Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom Jesus was born, who is called Christ. So all the generations from Abraham to David were 14 generations, and from David to the deportation to Babylon, 14 generations, and from the deportation to Babylon to the Christ, 14 generations. That's a lot of waiting. 14, 14, 14, generation after generation. So we see two things in this genealogy. Promise, waiting, and sin. Three things. Did I say two? I meant three. Promise is given, a long period of waiting for those promises to be fulfilled, and a lot of sin among the people of God. If you're familiar with the Old Testament, you'll know some of the sin that is recorded right here. In some cases, God even highlights it, such as when he identifies Solomon as David, the father of Solomon, by the wife of Uriah. David had a son by another man's wife? Yes, he did. There's great sin and great waiting until finally, after so many generations, the long-expected one comes, and he is Jesus. Now, the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. And her husband Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you will call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. That is finally the long-expected, long-awaited Jesus, who is the son of Abraham and the son of David. He comes to be a blessing to all the nations, and he comes to sit on the throne of his father David forever. How can he bring blessing to all the nations? How can he sit as king over the people of God forever? Because he comes to save us from our sins. He is called Jesus, Yeshua, salvation. Yahweh saves. He saves. That's his name. For he will save his people from their sins. In the many years of waiting, many people thought what they needed was a strong warrior king to lead them in battle against all of their enemies. And they were right. They did. But they misunderstood who their truest and worst enemies were. The enemy within, our own sin. Our enemy, the devil, the accuser of the brethren. And Jesus was a strong and courageous warrior, unlike any who had ever come before or have ever come since. He did battle with the devil, and he overcame him and earned a perfect righteousness, and then he took our sins upon himself on the cross. He bore them in his own body, bearing the full weight of the wrath of God due for all of the sins of all of God's people for all time. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. And because he comes to save us from our sins, he comes to release us from our fear, the fear of death, from our slavery to sin, from our bondage, from our captivity to sin and death. And he comes to bring us into God's own family, adopted as children of God forever. Amen. That is the good news of the gospel. The long-expected Jesus came. We're going to listen now to Come Thou Long-Expected Jesus. I'm going to play you a version of this that was recorded by Red Mountain Church on their Christmas album, Silent Night. I highly recommend this Christmas album. Again, I don't do promotional sponsorships. You guys know that. I just love this album. So Red Mountain Church is a PCA church. They're in Alabama. And they did this album of Christmas carols several years ago, and it's a nice, refreshing versions of traditional Christmas carols. And so if you like traditional Christmas carols, but you would like to hear them done in a little more contemporary way, just a little bit more fresh interpretation of them, this will give you a good sample of what the music is like on this wonderful CD. For a couple of years, it was my absolute favorite Christmas CD. I just played it over and over and over again. So here, let's listen together. Come Thou Long-Expected Jesus from Red Mountain Church.
Come thou long expected Jesus.
Amen, amen. What a wonderful prayer for us as we begin this Advent season here on December 1st. A great prayer that we would pray that the Lord would come and by His Spirit would raise us to His throne, that He would rule in us forever. Let's pray. Oh Lord Jesus, we thank You for coming to be our Savior. We thank You for leaving the comforts of heaven, the glory of the angels, the worship of heaven, and to come to earth to be born in such a low condition, laid in a manger, born to be our Savior, born to set Your people free. Reign in our hearts today and forever, and may we rejoice in You this Advent and Christmas season and throughout the coming year. We praise You, Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen. Well, I hope you have a blessed day in the Lord, and we will gather together again on Friday morning for O Come, O Come, Emmanuel.